It is great to be back here this morning. It is wonderful. Glad to see everybody. You know, I got to say this. Please. I see all of us as family. I'll never see you as anything else. I may look ugly, but I still believe we're family. You know, you're going to have to own up to me. You know, I was listening to the song, Mr. Mack, thank you so much for singing that. And have you ever listened to the words of a song and wondered, what was the inspiration to provide? I listened to Mr. Lewis back then. I hear Mac's song, and I love that. I love that because you've got to believe that by and by. I really believe that. And I'm telling you here right now, it's impossible to face this world like things are with any kind of hope of success without believing that. I don't... want to hold you up with that. I know Curtis gave all the public announcements this morning. That's good. We need to get all that stuff out there. But God knows. Listen, family. Tomorrow is not promised. Don't just pass it off as a second. Tomorrow is not promised. So listen. If you can actually get anything out of something, get something out of your worship with God. Listen to me. Get something out of this. Don't just come here and keep the fabric on the bench for us. We got nails. It'll do it. You do something else while you're here. You know, listen to me. With that, I'm again exceedingly excited to be up here again. Mr. Curtis let me have this time. I thought he was going to fire me, but he must have left his book home. He'll get me. Anyway. I want to thank the good Lord for allowing us this opportunity, allowing us to be here. Don't just say that to pass time away on your life and on the clock. Just say, listen to me. You didn't have to be here. You did not have to be here. Don't sit here and think that you are something important. You're just like all the rest. Just like all the rest. I want to thank the church and the leadership. We talked about that in Sunday school. You just don't know. A ship without a rudder is lost. The rudder steers it. The rudder leads it to where it's going. The church needs that. And it's not going to come from some Klingon ship. It's not going to come from some rock group. It's going to come from right here. We have to raise our own, using God's word and his guidance. I respect and admire and thank God for the leadership that we have. We don't always look at things the ideal same, but we do have a common bond and a common draw, which is the Bible, that can get us back on course. It's like a compass. The true north versus the magnetic north. The true north brings you back straight every time. Every time. That's the true north. My church family, maybe I should just drop off that and just say my family. I always look forward to coming here. My wife, and as everybody else, I am glad to know that I come from a family that believe and love me too. That's one of those things. Listen to me now. If I don't ever give you anything else that's influencing, listen to this. Love is one of those things that you don't just say. I'm going to have to see and feel that in you. See, so you can't just say, I love you, Grady, on a sign and pass and fly on off to another country, and that have the same meaning as me coming to somebody to help me, to inspire me, to comfort me. There's a difference. Please know what love is. Please know what it is. Well, I know you're tired of all the thanks. But if you're standing where I'm at in this world, you look around and you have to give thanks because it didn't have to be this way. So with that, if you would please let us bow so I have my open prayer before I start my service. Heavenly Father, we ask that you move on us right now. If there is anything unclean in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds, Father, remove it. We ask that this word of yours, this doctrine, what we're putting, that I put out, Father, I ask that it is only what you would have me to say. that you control every word, you can control every sound, every syllable, Father, that it has and take on a meaning and a shape and a spirit to move, Father, that's going to take them and guide them through those troubled times when we're not together. Father, we ask that this word that we teach today resonate in each and every one of them's heart and my heart. That we grow that much closer to your fellowship, Father, that we might be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this particular sermon I come up with, you know, I did something a little bit different. I called Curtis on this. I respect and admire. And if I got a question, that's one thing we learned in school and in officer candidate school. If you don't know an answer, you don't sit there and tumble over the unknown. You go get the source. What that does is eliminate the possibility of inaccuracies. As a technician, it's imperative that you're accurate. So with that, my scripture or supporting scripture will be coming from John 4, 23 through 24, and Nehemiah 8 and 6. When you have it, say amen. Amen. I'll read. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Nehemiah 8 and 6. When you have it, say amen. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Okay. My question or my title for today, how do you worship God? How do you worship God? You know, Let me tell you this story. They're true, though. The story is true. When I was in the military, in basic training, boy, they would stress us out. You hear me? In basic training, go over a series, I think it was about 6 weeks. I mean, they're dogging you for all you're worth. They're dragging you. Man, ain't nothing right. The food's sloppy. You learn how to run and eat running eggs while you're running. That's how bad it is. So, you know, they own you. And when I went to basic training, they didn't have lawyers to stand in their behalf, so they did anything they wanted to us. You hear me? They had 7 events in the PT test. Now you ain't got 3. These people now go to PT basic training. They get it's handed to them. Yeah. So when Sunday came around in the military and they said, the only way you're getting out of detail is that you go to worship service. I'm in that line. You hear me? I need some rest. They're going to kill me out here. Nobody cares. They're doing it to all of them. But we went to worship. And listen to me. The only thing that held true to me is that worship service was mandatory 1 hour. I made sure that I stayed there my 60 minutes. You hear me? I didn't get up out of the seat, didn't do anything. I went to worship. And I said that to get you to understand, and it is true, worship and how do you worship God? Nobody, even though that drill sergeant was on our throats, on our neck, with everything else, when it came to worship, he left you alone. He left you alone. What good I did, I did. What praying I did, I did. What praying I didn't do, I didn't do. That's important. That's important. Because I honestly believe, that sometimes we can get complacent in our worship service. I honestly believe that sometimes we can come in here and sit down for just relief. I know you don't want to hear this. This is me. I honestly believe that this is me. This is me. That sometimes every single second we're sitting here, we're not in tune with God. Not every single second. And that tends to reflect in our life when we're outside the door. Let me come back home. Y'all forgive me. You know, I'm excited about this because the thing that got me to doing this, I heard that some churches are not conducting services right. I heard that some churches are not holding church the way they should be. I've heard that some of the churches sometimes is wrong in the way they worship. And I thought about that thing, and I said, whoa. Whoa. I said to myself, you know, I wonder, how do we, family, rank up in this line of accusations? How do we rank, you know, when they start saying they ain't worshiping? When you say somebody ain't worshiping right, you know, it almost begs the notion that you know what worshiping is. To me, I mean, you tell me, Grady, you ain't jump out of the airplane right. I assume automatically you jumped out of the airplane before. Yeah, you had to. You told me I didn't do it right. I ain't seen you up there. He must be a jump master. And sometimes we carry that over into the church. So, with that, I wondered, are there some things that we can do better? And I said to myself, what a great subject for a sermon. Something that flows directly to the heart of our salvation. Something that we all need to use. The making of a Christian. The great right to correct the great wrong. That's why when you come to worship, you're a Christian, you're changing your life. That's what's supposed to be happening. Now, this don't happen. You come, well, I just got home from the club. I'm going to sit down here, Lord, I'm going to church. That ain't what's happening. That ain't what's happening. Listen to me. The magic is not in the pew, if that's what you're thinking. Don't get mad with me. I ain't going to hold you long. Don't get mad with it. The great right comes from worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That's where the magic is. It ain't in, we had our preacher shipped in from Alaska or somewhere. That ain't where it comes from. Curtis just like me. When he go to DMV, he got to stand in line for his tag. Just like me. Everything to say. It ain't him. That's the point. It ain't him. It's your standing with God. And I can say that alone, and I can go back to those two verses, John 23 and 24, and say those verses alone by themselves are self-explanatory. Yeah. You need to worship God in spirit and in truth. You need to worship God in spirit and in truth. And Titus himself can say, Grady, listen to me. This is the guidance for how to properly worship when you come in here. Which means that you're probably not doing everything every day in spirit and truth, so you probably got to do some preparation for this. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to use this analogy again when jumping out of the plane. I had everything I needed to jump out of the plane when I left Marshall Stanford House June 11, 1976. I did not know how to use it until I went through jump school training. You understand that? You got everything you need to worship God right. You just got to go through the training. It ain't on the leader, the members, the choir, the pew, the air conditioner, or the barbecue chicken at the Sunday picnic to get you straight with God. That ain't how that works. Just bear with me. I'm gonna get out of your hair. I'm gonna get out of your hair. If I let you to just interpret those two verses by yourself, it would stand alone and it would give that, but I wouldn't be doing my part as a Christian, as a teacher, to come up here and just let it go without offering the understanding and guidance that I know about it. As a leader, even as a patriot in a household, you have a responsibility to steer and guide in the right direction. You have that. Believe it or not, family, worship is part of it. Worship. It's part of it. So, you know, you see, we stand on the truth of God. His word is that it tells us to go out and preach the gospel as it is written in this book. This is the guidance where we're supposed to get that understanding about worship, living, and being a Christian. This is where it's supposed to come from. Not somebody's belief, not a tradition that your family used to do, not a modified arrangement of truth. It has nothing to do with physical ability or money. Nothing. We're talking about worshiping God. You say, great, how all that tie in? Listen, I don't care how much you come in here and put inside of the basket for collection. That didn't mean that you worshiped at all to God that day. In fact, I don't know whether you got the record or not. There is no teller machine in heaven. Can't use your car. None of that stuff works. Don't work. Just letting you know. Just letting you know. Doesn't make a difference how many times you've been to the cathedral or the Brotherhood Convention. They're not counting heads for that in heaven. That ain't how that works. That ain't how that works. You have to have a relationship with God. As it's stated in the verse, you have to recognize or worship God in spirit and in truth. That in and of itself, because there's nobody else on the face of the earth that you communicate with like that, that's a change for you. Let me help you. That's what that is. That's a change. That's a change. So let's just go over what we got right now. To start with, we know when we come to come to church, we should have a change in our hearts, how we feel it right now. That's right. Our hearts, our minds should be clear. We should be ready to see, talk, believe, understand, and worship God. Our mind, heart should be focused on Him. That's Father worship. That's what it's saying right here. Father worship. You know, God commands and directs us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He didn't add nothing else to it. He didn't say, Great, I need you to worship me with a three-piece Botany 500 suit? Nope. He didn't say that. He didn't say that, Curtis. I can't find it. I can't find it. He didn't say you need to wait till everybody else sit down in church and then walk in so everybody can see you. That ain't what it said. You late. That's what that is. It said in spirit and in truth. And I know you're saying right now, you're saying to yourself, Grady, I know how to worship. I don't need another class on how to worship God. And listen, I'm not one to fight you. I believe you. I do. If you said nobody knows your relationship with God better than you, you know where you're at with God. I understand. You're a Christian worshiper certified. You got your gold wings. I understand. Yeah. You bless your heart. You got your angel engraved Bible. You waiting on your ride to go to heaven. I believe you. I do. But just in case, you're like poor me. I realize that I don't always get it right. I realize that I need God. I realize that I have to worship Him in spirit and in truth, because that is the only way that I can get intimate with my relationship with God. So when I pick this notion that I'm going to be a Christian, when I decided to change my life, there was a transformation took place for me. I didn't just get wet. I've been wet. I know what wet is. And when you don't want it, it ain't fun. But I didn't just get wet on my baptism day. I know without question it did not stop in there. I knew that. Lord knows I knew. And I know because I got baptized before my kids or whatever did, that didn't make me the sole knowledge of how God is to be worshipped. I knew right away, that I was no better than nobody else. In fact, it helped me to realize I was no better than nobody else. I looked at all the things that we need to be true Christians. And everything that I could find in that Bible that required for me to worship God in spirit and in truth came for my salvation, came only from me. I had to do this. I couldn't rely on you. You can't do it for me, Karen. I couldn't do it. So what that told me is that when I come to my worship, when I come to my service, when I come in here, I ain't got no business judging nobody out there. None. And whether or not they are doing what they're supposed to, I got so much mess on my plate, I was unable to watch you struggle. Get into your business. Tell you what you ain't doing. Your wings been clipped. Huh? You know you got a half ticket to heaven. You understand? That's ludicrous to come in here and try to act like we're something better than the other person over there when every single one of them got to punch the same ticket. Let's get straight. This is about worship here now. I found out when I was trying to stay focused, I told my wife, I make sure that when I'm in the church, my mind ain't thinking about working on cars, whether your child done this, so-and-so owe me some money. No. Worship service became worship service for me. That meant two things. Getting close to God. And reconciling my soul. getting close to God, reconciling my soul. It also told me, you, and you are here. I'm assuming you're doing the same thing. Never at any time did I look at and say, oh, he's doing this better than me. Well, I'm going to stand up and clap because of him. If you heard me mumble over a song or whatever, I either didn't want to sing, don't know the words, or can't sing. It ain't got nothing to do with him. I look back when I heard Mr. Lewis sing. Oh, he here. I like hearing him. I love the song. My mind is focused on what's going on in my service, my worship to God. Because if I'm worshiping him in spirit and truth, I know that I'm giving God my all. I'm opening up to him. Because, listen to me now, you need to understand the definition of worship. What worship is. In worship, you worship God for, listen to me now, for who he is, not for what he's done. That's not, he done it. That's good. But for who he is, we're talking about the creator. Huh? You didn't even have to be here before you were even here. He made a way for you. The sustainer of life. The giver and the taker. The Alpha and Omega. Yes, sir. I don't know about you, but I didn't meet nobody like that when I was in Germany. I didn't meet him in the States. The only one that I know that can give and take, the sustainer of life, the creator, is my Lord. I worship him. Divorce myself from any other thinking and understanding. I'm in tune with God. Lord, thank you. This is where I'm able to praise him and mean it. This is where I'm able to believe in him and wait on it. This is where I'm able to live by his rules and teach it to my family. It has sustained me. Worship. Worship. Know what worship is? Know what worship is? That's why they're telling you, you know, I was at that Greg over there. I was in church when I took my son. And he was in there, and one of the times, I'll never forget it. You know, just let us bow in prayer. I bowed down to pray, got my head down, and Greg pulled my fingers apart and said, Daddy, why are you closing your eyes? You crying? I don't know how that affected you, but to me, it let me know there need to be some understanding that's going on. It ain't cute. I mean, we could say it's cute, but the issue is there's some understanding. What his father, his support, his primary is bowed down with his head. Listen, quiet. I am going into communication with my father in heaven, my sustainer. Daddy, you crying? Definition says to bow down in respect or reverence for someone. In fact, I'm going to tell you the definition. You need to understand what the definition of worship is. The most common words that translate in the Bible that translate in the Bible mean to kneel or lay face down before someone as an act of reverence. Biblical worship is acknowledging that God is the King and results in living lives in light of that truth. Why that's important? It's hard for you to live a life of truth if you don't know what it is. The only way you're going to get that is through this. He ain't responsible. You don't fool yourself. He, me, and I. Nobody's responsible for your soul but you. I'm responsible for being the truth in this. You should see this in me. Now, I don't know about you, but there come a time when I'm sitting at the dinner table, my plate get full. I ain't got time to look at your plate. I ain't got time to say you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. I got a life I got to handle. And when you get to the point that you realize that you can't live but one day at a time, you are getting closer to understanding that God, the creator, the sustainer, gave that to you. That's what you understand. So when you come in for this hour, 2 hours, or whatever you call it for worship, you realize now that's the most important time in your life. You don't have to be here. And you're saying to yourself, I thank God that he put all the responsibility on me. I don't have to wait on Curtis to pray for me, Tony to carry me, Greg to believe me, or what. The same way, I don't have to worry about what you say I'm not doing right. Let me say that again. The same way, I don't have to worry about what you say I'm not doing right. You know, in the game, you know, when you shoot a ball and it ain't in play, they say, that don't count. Huh? When it comes to somebody else directing your salvation, that don't count. Remember that now. Why are you worried about that? Worship. In spirit and in truth. Psalms 95:6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He didn't mention nobody else sitting beside you, brother, sister, wife, anybody. Let us, and we, that reverence is to God. Not to a position, not to a status, not to a church, not to a cult, not to a club, to God. So when you worship, when you come in here, it don't have to be 500 people, don't have to be your best buddy, it don't even have to be a good day. Let's understand what worship is when we come in here. Let's understand what's supposed to go on. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in spirit. I don't know what that means to you. I don't know what that means to you. But that means to me, I'm accountable for me. That's me. That's what I'm getting out of it. You go to the leadership and ask them, what does it mean, Kurt? Help me. So I say something. If it's wrong, it's wrong. That's what I'm getting. So how does this line up with service? Well, the order of service probably flowed out of Psalms 104, verse 4. It reads, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Okay. Nobody knows more about what God done for you than you. You need to be thanking him and praising for what he done for you. The first thing you got to understand, he's the creator and the sustainer of life. You didn't have to be here. There's somebody at the cemetery right now. Somebody is not going to make it through the day. Somebody is not going to wake up in the morning. For me alone, old country Grady from Willard, that's enough by itself for me to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Lord, have mercy. Thank you. Maybe I'm looking at it crazy. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong. But thanking God. I see my family over there. Here, in the back, I can say, thank you, Lord. You know why? Because I know what it is to not have or be in a situation that you don't have a way out. And I still marvel at how I got out. As the song say, you know, my soul looks back and wonder how I got over. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. Praise, hallelujah, thank you, Father. Because I'm not jumping around and hollering, that, hey, look, that don't mean a thing. You ought to look at, I can come here today regardless of what you and I go through. I can look at it and say, tomorrow, God affords me the ability to look at you and say, he can do the same for you. He can help you. I don't have to hold a grudge against you. That's worship and change and praise. See how that thing works? See how that thing works? You don't just listen to me. I know you've been doing it. You think, well, I got to go to church. I got to sit up front. I got to get my new shoes. Lord, have mercy. I need a new hat. Do you? Do you? Because I'm going to tell you, not what Grady said, not what I read. I mean, well, yeah, I did read, but not what I found in the ditch or whatever. Here in his word tells me I don't have to do that. It gave me guidance. I cannot go to daddy's grave and say, oh, you didn't tell us about that, that dickhead. What's wrong with you? No. Right here. Right here. So because of that, it helped me to understand how much I need to do better. How what I need to do to improve my worship. How I can become a better Christian, a follower, a child of God. How I, and you know what I learned from that? In turn, I can help you. You see how I grow it. I know this ain't your ideal thing after Christmas. But sometimes, regardless of how bitter the pill is, you got to take it. Sometimes you got to. And then this for me, I ain't picking on nobody. I'm telling you about me. I had these. I'm telling you what I know. Now I'm telling you what I went through. And I said, this is a wonderful thing. Because we automatically assume that when we come and sit down, we're worshiping God. Oh, that's what it looks like. I don't know what's in your heart. Bible says, I don't know what's in your heart. That's what it looks like. See, when I leave out of here, Lord, I feel like I just got through talking to my best friend. You hear me? I felt like I made some headway on what tomorrow if brings if I'm afforded tomorrow. You know, I can face a problem. It relieved me, and I get some relief from it when I come here. And just by seeing you, I can say, they're looking for the same thing I'm looking for. So when it comes to worship, singing, praising, worshiping, make sure it's not a hollow, shallow approach. Make sure, as we were saying in jump school, make sure you got your chest strap hooked on your parachute. You don't want to jump out there and your parachute stop and you don't. You understand? Make sure you hook it up. Make sure. They walk around and check it. Make sure you got your chest strap on. Huh? You get away with a leg strap missing, but that chest strap, oh my goodness. You get away with an arm strap. You're going to be tore up, but you're going to get away with an arm strap. But that chest strap, So for me, I looked at some things that I can do to make my worship, my praise, my service more meaningful and developmental for my growth in God. And through that, I know my family and friends could see me and believe also that God works. So I looked at it. And there are six small things that I try to use to keep me focused. So when you or I or somebody say something, well, not you, when you or somebody say something ugly to me, not you here in the church, but when that happens in life, somebody do you wrong, I don't have to follow up with vengeance, anger, and ugliness because my worship service, my worship is real. I use certain things to keep me. I'm not coming here to get out of basic training in KP no more. That ain't why I'm here. That's not what it is. It was good, but that ain't what it is. So when I get here, I use, you know, my little six steps. I must be committed to God. That's the first thing you done to Gray, you look, you can't half-step God. He knows what you got planned and got going on. Committed. You need to be committed. commit it to change. Change don't take place unless there's a commitment going on with it. We'll find an excuse to get out of it. Commitment means, listen to me, that big ass word that we're scared of, sacrifice. Woo! Sacrifice. Huh? Sacrifice mess you up. Sometimes that means telling somebody, no. Lord have mercy. That turned that friend group up. Let me go. I'm going to get you. Let me get you all on out here. I know you got to go. And study. So I don't have to worry. You know, the best thing to keep me from getting upset with what you say to me is that I study the word for myself. So I know how to live and conduct myself. So when that comes, I don't have to retaliate with anger and ugliness. Study the word. It's hard to listen to worship God on truth if you don't know it. You got to study the word. Three, grow in fellowship with God. How do you do that? Listen to me. For me, by prayer and meditation. By prayer and meditation. Sometimes I do. I have to steal away. I go up. I make it a business to go outside or sit down and talk to my Father in heaven. Thank you so much. It may not be nothing to you. It's everything to me. And you know what? I know he's listening. It didn't have to be this way. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. And you know what? I still can't explain all the blessings he's given to me right now. I can't explain. Number four, I need to die to myself. What does that mean? You can't go back to the old ways. I can't go back, Curtis. Oh, listen to me. I see you back there. I like you and everything. But I can't go back there, Curtis. I can't go back there. I can't go. Look, you good? You gonna have to come up here. I can't go back there. Huh? Just like the airplane again. You look up and you shoot. You can't go back up there. They're gone. They're gone. Huh? Yeah. Sacrifice. And five, born again. You said you're a new creature. When you come up out of that, I have to remember, Grady, listen to me. I like to fail. Listen. You're not the same way you used to be. My kids tell me, you know, I'm going to tell you all this. I'm finna close up. I sent out an email this Christmas. I did something different this Christmas. I sent out an email to my battalion commander, who I hadn't seen since 1986. I said, he's on, what is it, LinkedIn. I hit LinkedIn and put it in. Do you know that man hit me back, and I bet you it was 10 minutes. He said, hey, Chief, I ain't seen you. How's everything going? Colonel Todd, Dennis Todd, out in Missouri. I said, sir, I must say I'm ecstatic and surprised that you remember me and responded. He said, no, I know I remember you real well, Chief. You always smiled. My soldiers looked up to you, and I can count on you to get us back and forth to war. You always done things that we were supposed to. I remember when you did this, this, and this. He remembers stuff I could. I said, Then I hit my other one. And then, she'll tell you this is the truth. My BMO at that time, when I got ready to go to war, these West Point people, you know, that's a big thing for the Army. That's way up there. You know, that's the school of status. I hit the Lieutenant BMO. He hit me back. He sent pictures. Yeah. Hey, Chief, what's going on? I would love to see you. You're looking good and all this other stuff. And he sent me a picture of him standing by a barbecue grill. Yes, yesterday. She told me to go ahead. Listen, what I'm saying to you, listen, turn your relationship over to God. That's what this worship service is for. Leave all that other stuff at the door and let God fill it for you. Don't come in here in a judgmental position. You look at this thing as this is your time to go to God for your salvation. Give him that. He gave you life. Give him that. Look at your plan. Understand what worship is about. Praising and worship. Know what they are. Know what you're supposed to be doing. and this Bible for your questions that you can't get answered from somebody else. You don't go to somebody. Don't put your salvation in somebody else's hand. You put it to God. You put it to God. And when you want to do or make that change in your life and you find out that you're not where you're supposed to be, you might want to incorporate God's plan. You take God's plan. What you want to do is hear the gospel, and you'll find this. Listen to it. Romans tell you. Romans 10, 13 through 17 will tell you about the gospel, how important, what we got to do. Believe in Christ. It's hard to live the standard of somebody if you don't believe in something. It's a facade. It's a fake. It ain't real. You come in and do what you do. You just look. We call it in the military, he slumped over in the saddle. The horse will bring him home. That's what we say. It's old. He out. Repent for your past sins. Make no mistake. I don't care who you are or what you are. You got sins. You got sins. You can't get around that one. You're never going to get this part straight. Confess to Christ. You'll find this in Romans 10, 9 through 10. Be baptized. You got to go down in the water and don't go in there and get wet. You need a bath. Do that somewhere else. Here, we're talking about getting your soul straight. We're talking about one thing, the hereafter, your soul here. And live faithfully. Live faithfully. Family, I love you. I thank you so much for this. I don't know. Maybe there's nothing in here, but it made me realize some things, too, about what I need to do and what I need to make sure of when I was in my worship service. So if you are in that point, you need prayer, or if you're ready to join the church, or if you just want someone to talk to, we ask that you come now as we stand and sing.